out there, man. We got a whole bunch of them today. How about that? This is Terrible Tommy. This is White Aryan Resistance War. Again, back on track. We had changed it from Insurgent back over to White Aryan Resistance for several reasons, and tactical, and just something that Tommy thought we should do. So anyhow, that's it. White Aryan Resistance, Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, right here in the bunker, right here in North Central Indiana. We've had rain all morning. It's a rain. Well, that's good, because it rains like hell one day, and the sun shines the next. That's fine. So, sorry we missed you yesterday. I was had to go do a little taking care of myself yesterday. So, anyhow, we're all set today and back in the saddle. How about that? And we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your snail mail and your donations for the radio show and any other donations you want to send along. And they've been coming in pretty good here. Thank you, fellas. We're pretty well up to date here in August. Almost everybody. And so we're ready to go. Yeah! Yeah, it was sort of a hectic day yesterday, but it all turned out okay. All's well that ends well, right? That's what I always say. Well, I guess we had a little thunder all over there in Iraq yesterday. Young fellow lost his head. Well, here's the point. The point is that what's the difference? Getting shot by a sniper in the head, or being led up to the gallows and hung by your neck until dead, or being strapped into an electric chair? Death is death. Actually, beheading is a very quick and probably the most civilized way of it happening. But these people realize that that is a very, very good propaganda. And you see, these guys are playing this ISIS. They're playing unconventional warfare to the hilt. And if you're going to play it, I guess that's the way you got to play it, all the way, 100%, either win or take all, or lose it. So they're religious fanatics. If you don't like religious fanatics, then you shouldn't support religion. And so there you go. I saw the mother and father of this reporter that was killed on TV talking, and I'd swear she's Jewish, but I don't know. I don't know for sure. Did they find out that there was a Jew in the family? Maybe that's why they called him out for beheading. Nobody said anything about it so far. Well, they can thank Cheney's army, because it's Cheney that started the chain of affairs that's led us to this point, led the whole world to this point. And, they're bombing hundreds of thousands of people, killing them, men, women, and children. And so this so-called American exceptionalism is catching up with them. Because the rest of the world is saying, well, we don't think that's quite right, man. Anyhow, so they're going to start chopping heads off. Well, chopping a head off one person is a lot different than dropping tons of bombs on civilian neighborhoods. But anyhow, they don't see it that way. They want to use it, try to use it in their favor. But it may come back to bite them in the ass, because these guys could turn up here in the United States very simply, just buy a ticket and get on a plane and have some plot figured out, some lone wolf type plot. They could flood the whole country with those kind of people coming through the southern border. So anyhow, the odd thing is it never happened before. They didn't flood in here and start tearing things up. I don't understand it. that's why I think it's a little bit of a false flag. I don't know. It's strange, because the first thing you want to do is go for the throat. And after the Twin Towers went down, I mean, you know, if you're serious, you're going to follow it up. They haven't followed it up, except the FBI-type created situations. So anyhow, that's that. So anyhow, I guess that's what they mean when they said, heads will roll, man. Well, I don't think the Kurds should have got involved, even though maybe they feel they need to get involved. I don't think they've always screwed the Kurds. Our government's never really gave the Kurds a break either. So the Kurds are going to go balls to the wall over there fighting ISIS, and then probably get nothing when it's over, like we do for most people, except maybe we'll bring the leaders over here to the United States and set them up in Miami Beach. Like to do that all the time, too. You know, these ISIS guys remind me of Genghis Khan, even though he was an Asian race. But the way he came across out of Asia and into Europe with heads hanging from his bridle straps, he was a big-time beheader, too. I think these ISIS guys have been reading up on Genghis Khan. You know, I sent you this morning a video clip taken by this black guy of watching the police gun down another black guy, and this was outright murder. You got to admit it, boys, if you watch that tape, watch that video. I mean, there was no excuse for pumping five or six slugs into that guy when pepper spray or a net or zapper could have got him. In fact, he wasn't really doing anything at the time that they shot him, just walking around. So now there's a real example of the kind of cops you don't want in your neighborhood. I'll tell you the kind of cops, if you're going to have cops, is a necessary evil. You want not law enforcement people, you want peace officers. See, that's what they used to call them. Even up until a few years ago, and maybe still is some places out there in Arizona where they have peace officers. And they're only going to come out if it's something really, really bad. A couple of guys get in a fist fight in a bar, they're not coming out. And that's, peace officers used to operate that way. But when they move to law enforcement officers, they're sending you a message. But anyhow, what do you think of that deal where those cops in that clip I sent you just out of the blue gunned that guy down? Like, he could have been a white guy, too. So, you know, this idea of saying, oh, well, as a black guy, that's okay, I think is a false or a bad situation to put yourself in. We're not saying we love the black race or anything like that. We want separation. In fact, that's what those people out there are really demonstrating about. Sometimes they don't even realize. They want separation. They want their own community. They want to be left alone. So let them alone and give them black cops. They're going to find out something. They used to have black cops in L.A. a long time ago and a lot of other cities. But I'll tell you what, blacks didn't get away with anything with black cops around. They can jive a middle-class white cop pretty good, but they never could really jive these guys, black guys that were working in the black neighborhoods of L.A., because I talked to cops and lawyers about it that remember how it was. And they would just wail on another black guy just for the fun of it, almost, you know. So, but anyhow, they should be separate. We're just so much unlike. We're not alike, and of course we're not equal. So a lot of this is trying to make black people act like white people want them to act, and they're not going to act like white people want them to act because they can't. It's not in them. It's not generally. We're not saying there aren't exceptions to the rule, but in most cases, they have their nature, and we have our nature, and it's not going to coexist. Got to separate. The only peaceful thing to do is separate. And I sent out quite a few emails on that to these race mixing websites too. Tell them we don't want to oppress you. We don't want to rule over you. We don't want to don't want any slaves or manservants or anything else. We just want separation from the black race. We don't want to be responsible for you. You got to be responsible for yourself. But that don't fit the capitalist hierarchy plan in the ruling class. You know, they use these blacks anywhere they want to. And right now, what they're doing is preparing to give the Republicans a landslide in the next election. The Fox News people, all those people, even though they pretend to be almost liberal behind the scenes, we know what they're saying and what they're thinking about, and they want as much hell raised in Missouri with Obama still in office as they can. They want Eric Holder going out there making an ass out of himself. That's what they want. The Republicans are behind closed doors laughing their ass off and doing the jig, and oh, it's unbelievable how you can manipulate people. And right now, the Republican hierarchy and the ruling class are manipulating this situation. Not that they were the actual cause of it. They weren't the fuse, but then all you have to do is light the match. You put gasoline all over the ground. Somebody comes along with a cigarette and flips it out the car window, and away the gasoline goes poof, and there's a big fire. That's the way it works. The ruling class and their con men, and they get the gas all over the ground, and then anybody coming through that might flip a lit cigarette out of the window of a car, and the whole neighborhood's going to go up. And the ruling class could say, "Oh, we can't understand why this is happening. It's obviously we got to do more for the Negroes," but they don't. That's the secret. They say they're going to do something for the Negroes. Well, they throw them a bone once in a while, and they let them have your job. You know, they take you out of your job, white man, white woman, put a black guy in there, and they're supposed to love the ruling class. Well, no matter what they do, the black race is not going to love the ruling class of whites. They're not going to do it. Working class whites can talk to the blacks a lot better than ruling class, because the blacks are smart enough to know the ruling class are a bunch of goddamn lying, corrupt crooks, whether you call them a Republican or a Democrat or what they may be. So let's quit fooling each other, or trying to fool each other. You know the score, because you listen to this radio show, and I know the score. And the ruling class knows the score, and the black so-called community knows the score too. But the problem is they don't have control over their youth to where they can't control them. There's nobody there. The fathers are all gone. But if they're going to have an independent black community, they got to get these guys under control. And if they have to use the black gangs to do it, well, use them like the militia, black militia, to bring peace into the black neighborhoods and the ghettos, like that. But white guys, we'll stay out of there. We don't want none of you. You go on and be separate there, Mr. Black Man. We want to be separate. But if you get too out of line, just remember this, Mr. Black Man. Still, the whites control the rural ability to have and make and grow food. And we have the trucks and the all the machinery it takes to get that food into the city. You're 13% of the population. If the white population out here in the hinterland decide to stop bringing food into the city, how long do you think you would last? You can riot all you want. You can burn all you want. But you'll starve to death in a month or two. And if you try to boil out of there and attack the white community at large, believe me, they're not all cowards. They're armed to the teeth, man. And a hell of a lot of them, a big percentage, are just waiting for an excuse. Just waiting for the excuse. Well, let's see what that rogue progressive got to say here about this.
There's nothing any president of the United States can say, going back over 70 years, about violence in the Middle East, when, in fact, we have been the primary instigators of that violence. Yes, we have. That's hard to listen to. And the right-wing crazy people in this country, and the Republicans, and the warmongers, they don't listen. They, you know, oh, Jesus Christ. There's that guy with the 37 listeners again shooting off his stupid mouth. The greatest perpetrators of violence in the history of the human race, certainly in the last 100 years, has been right. And where it concerns these 8th century Muslims who wander the planet looking for their Allah or whatever the hell it is that the Muslims do, the hatred that they feel for the Christians is boundless. And it comes in no small measure because of what Christians have done to them. Why are we there anywhere in that part of the world to begin with? Because we are an imperialist, capitalist, greedy, grasping, grabbing society, and we don't care about who gets killed, who gets maimed, who gets tortured, until one of our people has the horror of being beheaded so that everyone can see it. The hypocrisy of the leadership of these United States is boundless. You want to put an end to this?
Yeah.
Get every single American, every single troop, every single diplomat, every single contractor, every single oil executive, every single anybody who looks, smells, or stinks like an American or a European out of their part of the world.
Yeah.
Leave! Get out!
Right.
Then it'll stop. It'll stop that quick.
Cool.
And then if these religious nuts want to slaughter each other,
yeah,
let them have at it.
Let them have at it. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Well, what do you think about that? Just get them all out. Get them out. Yeah. They're not going to do that, though, because they're making too much money. What do you think, Mr. Progressive? They're making too much money on oil and arms, weapons, and so forth, and everything else. Drugs, prostitution, white slavery, you name it. They're going to give all that up so they can't live in their big mansions in the finest areas of the country in the world and on their big yachts. You're going to give that up? No, they're not going to give it up. You're going to have to take it from their cold, dead hands. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not that upset with ISIS. ISIS never did anything to me. I don't think they plan to do anything to me. I haven't seen any ISIS running down the road here with their sabers flying in the sun. Haven't seen any of that. Haven't even seen them in Chicago or any of the Midwest cities. So, they're not my enemy. They're not my enemy. If somebody goes over there as a newsman or whatever he goes over there for, a missionary or what, and knows the score and knows what he's dealing with, and they grab him, and they cut your head off or shoot you or stick a knife in you or hang you or drag you behind a car, well, I'm sorry. I didn't send you over there. I didn't ask for you to go over there. It's all your situation. And then you got to pay the piper. You got to pay the piper. You know what? Civil disobedience is not our problem. It's obedience that's our problem. Yeah, all over the world, people are obedient. No matter how bad it gets, in most cases, they're obedient. You know? And the worst people are running the governments of the world. And because the people are too obedient, they got to quit being so obedient. Maybe the blacks have got something over there in Missouri, huh? What do you think? Maybe they got something going. You know, it's only the central state that can cause to be built all these weapons that are being thrown all over the world to be used by people killing each other. You know, I'm not against people having a gun to protect a family in their house, but you see, once you have a federal system, which many of our founding fathers knew would end up this way, where they would collect all the money and then they can wage all the wars that you don't even want to be involved in. So anyhow, the time is to stop being obedient. Not be law-abiding, be law-breaking. That's their law, which is corruption and oppression, is their law. Fuck their law. You know, the typical cowardice of the white leadership in this country, even though Obama's president, you know as well as I do, he's a puppet, is to, when you have trouble with the black race, you think you can make the state police chief in Missouri black and the local police agency, I forget which one it is, make the leader black. That's the way they try to get out of this shit, you know. But it don't work. It don't work because the black people know what's going on. They know what's going on. You know what I think's funny with the black heads of the state police and the National Guard, ruling class puppets. It's funny as hell to see all these little white, fat-ass, toady guys in their 50s that are administrators and so forth, following them around like a bunch of little puppies. You know, negrophilia. And the blacks they're getting even at the top and at the bottom there, you know. So anyhow, it's amazing, man, it's amazing. You know, being subject to the news on this so-called riot out there in Missouri, and the absolute insanity of the press, which is not insane. They're serving their masters, the corporations, and they're making a fortune off covering this. It's a cheap way. The networks make cheap profits by covering things like that. They don't have to hire anybody. They don't have to hire any actors or anything. They just have a few cameramen and keep it going 24 hours a day, and they love it. This is duck soup for this Fox TV and all these people. People come from all over the world, these news guys, you know. It's cheap. If it bleeds, it leads, man. But I think some of these people need to read Camp of the Saints again. I read it 15, 20 years ago, and couldn't believe that what went on in that book could happen as soon as it did. But it's happened, and we're right in the middle of it now, but it, you should read Camp of the Saints and what happens to these white social liberals in the end. They get it in the end, I'll tell you that. And it's from the very people they were yelling about they're trying to save. Yeah, all that, and oppress the whites and give the non-whites a leg up over the white man. Well, in the end, they pay for it. Read Camp of the Saints. You know, I noticed the Christian Zionists and all of them and the Republicans and so forth are crying about how Islam is spreading and it's spreading. Islam is spreading everywhere. It's all over the place. And the Christians are all upset, man, because maybe all those people are going to become Islamic. Don't they ever think about how capitalism has spread all over the earth and has done some very bad things all over the earth? To every corner of the earth where anybody's got a TV or a radio, they get canned Jew movies and everything from Hollywood, and they got satellite TV and the whole bit. Capitalism has totally engulfed the whole world, and now they're worried about a competitor, the Islamics. I love to see them squirm. You notice how they don't identify criminals, even stick-up men and rapists, whether they're black or white. Well, on the regional radio the other day, I heard them identifying a guy who robbed a store as a white guy. But you don't hear them say black guys. Now they'll identify white criminals, but not black criminals. And have you watched some of these ads for home security, electronics, home security? Do you ever notice how they show a white guy crawling through the window or breaking through the door? Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It's always a white guy, never a non-white, never a black guy. You know where I just told you about saying that we need more disobedience? There's too much obedience. That was Howard Zinn. I don't know whether you people know Howard Zinn. I guess you would call Howard Zinn an anarchist, but he wrote books for decades and decades. I think he died about 2 or 3 years ago. And a lot of the stuff he wrote I agreed with. He wasn't with us on the race issue, but I remember it because of the ex-governor of the state of Indiana, and I can't even remember his name anymore. He had Howard Zinn's books taken out of the university, Indiana University. Can you believe that? He actually had his books removed. And Howard Zinn's books are far more important than this ex-governor ever would be. He was a ho-hum governor, as most governors are. Well, I'm going to change horses in the middle of the stream here due to a technicality problem here and switch to another microphone. I'm not sure just exactly whether this microphone will be better quality or not, but it serves my purpose and we can straighten that out later. Okay, boys and girls, that's my problem. I don't have myself a Jewish producer here, and I don't have one of those girls in a short skirt holding up my script. I got to do the whole thing myself. If I get in too much trouble, I call on my dog, Natasha. She comes down and helps out. One problem with that other mic, I could detect my breathing, huffing and puffing coming through, and you probably did too. And so anyhow, upward and onward, boys. I don't know whether you guys are old enough to remember Mario Savio back in the 60s at the University of California. They said he was the leader of the filthy speech movement, but he was really not being obedient to the masters at the university and believed that they should have total free speech and not be punished for free speech. And at the time, I was a loyal bircher, and they were saying, oh, Mario Savio is a communist. He must be a communist or he wouldn't say that stuff. But most of the time, a lot of the birchers didn't realize that in the Soviet Union, I mean, he wouldn't have had any at all. So, for it being a communist, well, they could say he's an infiltrator and all that, but no, he was a rabble-rouser like a lot of pretty good people are. And he got up there on the steps of the university and was given speeches about free speech and the whole bit. And here's part of what he said in one of his speeches.
Mario Savio again, in a totally different context, but the words are so appropriate. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels and the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop.
Hear, hear.
And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Hear, hear.
What are we waiting for? Savio said that 50 years ago.
Way back. I want to play you a little clip of a well-known talk show guy, Mike Church, who sometimes says some great stuff. And he knows a lot about the beginnings in the country and how the federalism is bad and all that kind of stuff and everything else. But the other day he said this, which drove me up the wall. Do you notice how they always say that hating another race is this and that? Well, why, to want separation, why do you have to hate anybody? If I hated them, I just say annihilate them totally from the face of the earth. I'm saying separate, you know? Separate. That's not hatred. But the right wing and the Republicans use a lot of the verbiage of a lot of the left. Listen to this.
That if you want to solve the problem of race, well, the problem of race is one of sin. Hating another race is a mortal sin. No, that doesn't mean that the other race is at war with you directly, that you don't defend yourself. But this is the problem. We haven't treated racism as a sin. It is a sin. Because we've turned to the state to fix it. Well, how's the state working out for you? How's the state doing in fixing it? It's made it worse. We're more divided than ever. 81% now. I saw the 2012 census. Last time I talked about this, it was a mere 74%. It's 81% now of all African-American children born in the United States are born without fathers. This is...
So if you want to live in an all-white neighborhood or county or state or country, you're automatically bad and guilty of a mortal sin. Now that rolls off my back like water off a duck's back. But to all these people out there, they're Christian Zionists and the ones that get down on their knees and pray to the baby Jesus and all that, and he's speaking as a Catholic. I know he's a Catholic. That's really bad. That's worse than calling you an asshole. That you're guilty of a mortal sin. That the Jew God has said so, but the Jew God didn't say so in other times. In fact, the Jew God in the South during the plantation times, he was all for slavery. That Jew God changes all the time. But you see how slick, now this is a Republican conservative. In some ways, he's labeling you worse than a progressive would. Progressive going to say you're wrong, and yeah, maybe you're hateful and like that, but he's not going to say that God has condemned you, a spook has condemned you as committing a mortal sin because you hate anybody. I mean, there's no law of nature or anything else against hating if you want to hate, if it gets you someplace. And the different degrees of hate, of course. But you see how the conservative right-wing Republican types and Tea Partiers fall right into the trap that the progressives don't even quite go that far. I wanted you to hear that because that's what goes on all the time, you know, with the Sean Hannitys, that son of a bitch. I'll tell you, I don't know which talk show guy I despise the most. I tune in to Fox TV because I know how rotten and how ruling class it is, and listen to the stuff. And after a while, I have to shut it off. I try to go to Al Jazeera, which, you know, I get some interesting news, but they're all going pro-black on the race issue. They're not really going to help the blacks. They just talk it. They talk it. They've had thousands of years to do something in Africa if they're going to spend the whole largesse of Europe's bank account. They might raise the blacks' IQ just a little bit in Africa, but not much. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I despise the Republican Party and these upper middle class white people and this bullshit Christian Zionism more than the progressives, because I can change a progressive. Yeah, in time, progressives will change because you can use some logic on progressives. If they see the handwriting on the wall and they see that they're going to have to kill or die or shoot or die, they're going to change. But a Christian Zionist Hagee type preacher type that bends their knee to spooks in the sky and they're lying sons of bitches, you know that. They got bank accounts the size of Rockefeller. Those are the guys, they're worse than the ISIS people. And if they were still had the power they did in the Middle Ages, they would cut your head off. If I went on the village square and said, I don't believe that shit. I don't believe in spokes in the sky. They'd grab me, throw me in the stocks, and chop my head off. They did it for a thousand years. They did it for hundreds of years in Europe. So when the Christians throw stones at the Islamic people for chopping people's heads off for propaganda purposes, hey, go back and see what you were doing back then and what you would do again if you get that kind of power, you and your Jewish buddies. But, of course, you're going to have to be all ready, because when the baby Jesus comes, that little turd, when the baby Jesus comes, he's going to say, you tell those kikes if they got to believe in me, or we're going to chop their heads off too. So, if there's a lot of Jews that are really Orthodox and believe only in their faith and don't believe that the Messiah has come, they're going to get their heads chopped off by the very people that said how wonderful they were and caused the American people to bankrupt their treasury to the tune of at least $120 billion to support and build this piece of shit in the middle of the desert in North Africa. We're in an insane asylum. And there was one guy, Pallets, what's his first name? It's in Jack, not, I keep thinking of Jack Palance, the movie actor, but this guy's a good muckraker. He digs up all the stuff on the rotten stuff of the oil companies. And he said, America's an armed madhouse. Well, I agree. It is an armed madhouse, and it's going to blow. It'll blow sooner or later. It's just as soon as Thor made little green apples. Now, Mike Church goes on, and he goes on and on, that there is no way that man can solve man's problems. Man has to get on his knees and pray to the spooks in the sky and pray to the baby Jesus. That's the only way we can solve any problems on earth. Man can't solve any problems. That's what the religious Christian Zionist people say. Talk about insane. Have they ever seen a spook? Have they had a spook to dinner? I used to know this gal in California. I've mentioned this before, quite a few years ago. She knew who I was, and every time I went into the local hardware, she was a checker. She'd say, I'm praying for you, Tom. I'm praying for you, Tom. I talked to Jesus about you this morning. I said, yeah? Yeah. Where'd you talk to him? Oh, in my kitchen. I was talking to him. And I say, well, that's interesting. That's great. Here's what I want to do. I want to come over to your house, have a cup of coffee tomorrow morning, and I want to talk to Jesus too. Well, what did he look like? I'd say, well, you can't say what Jesus looks like, because he's this and that, and she'd fumble around. I'd say, well, look, I'm coming over to your house to have a cup of coffee and a donut, and you produce the baby Jesus, or your whole religion's a fraud. Because you talk to him, You say you talked to him, and I think you're a liar, a nice liar. I like you as a person, but you're insane. You're a liar. You didn't talk to Jesus. You talked to the empty room. You talked to the walls. You talked to the pictures. You talked to the trees. You know, if I'm going to do anything like that, I'm going to go out and talk to the plants and the trees, you know. I've got to admit to you, I sometimes go in a garden and grab a hold just lightly of a plant and say, "How you doing, Mr. Plant? Hope you're doing fine." Because plants have more intelligence than people give them credit. Or go out and sort of talk to a tree. You know, I love trees. I almost have a nervous breakdown when they cut down a tree around here. Well, that sounds a little weird, but it's not as weird as spooks in the sky. It's not even come close to weirdness of spooks in the sky. There's nothing more weird than that. People are dying, supposedly, for spooks that they never see, never really hear, and never see. Hundreds of millions of people have died for spooks in the sky. Do you realize how insane that is? Just think about it. And I can't believe that I followed that stuff for, geez, up until I was in my 30s at least. Until I finally read Thomas Paine, and he was a deist, but at least he got me part way. And then I went on and Mark Twain and all the boys, and I really got serious about this religion thing. And one day I went in my office in Fallbrook, California, and I sit at the desk in the dark, and I said, "Why are things so fucked up?" And it came to me like a premonition, maybe it was from a spook, that said, "It's us spooks that are the problem." I said, I'd been looking for the answers in religion and churches for a long time. Never found it. And I said, "Hey, logic, common sense, that's because the answers aren't in churches or religion or all that kind of crap." And that day I walked away from this Christ insanity stuff and never looked back. And I'm telling you, it was like taking a 100-pound bag of corn off my shoulders. My life has been so much simpler ever since.
Bert's wondering, are we doing enough? Here's the Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
Military analyst and retired Major General Bob Scales says a few airstrikes in Iraq will not be enough.
What's needed here is an air campaign, not a pinprick. They've destroyed 8 or 9 vehicles, 2 up armored Humvees, and a 155-millimeter howitzer. That's important. But in terms of a long-term effect, in terms of a good start in an aerial campaign, no.
I'm Tom Peace.
You notice all these retired military guys they're bringing on Fox and all these, like this guy? They're warmongers. These guys, these sons of bitches, they live for war, more war. Let's bomb them more. Let's kill them. Let's get them. They're right out in the open now, like Cheney, because they're on Cheney's lead. And if anybody could be blamed for ISIS Army, it was Cheney who caused all this stuff to happen in the first place. But every time something happens like this, they trot out these old sons of bitches that retired generals, retired admirals, and they're all war hawks. And they're all fronting for the military-industrial complex. Simple as that. Just like General Smedley Butler told us. They're nothing but hired guns for the corporations and the war machinery builders and all that kind of stuff. Jeez. I think I need to run for you a recording I did of a book review and the author about how rotten and corrupt the Lockheed people were. Now, and all the shit that they pulled and how they padded the bills, and when they said that they couldn't build warplanes in the United States in the First World War, They took these warplanes and built them and then took them across the border into Canada and then sold them to whoever was going to buy them. So, I mean, you know, that industry, the armaments industry, is one of the most corrupt and dangerous manufacturing facilities that there is. And whenever there's trouble in the world, what do they say the first thing? We need to send them more arms. Well, yeah, they need to send them more arms because they can get the American taxpayer to pay for them. And they claim they're giving them to this country that's got to have them to fight these people off. Then that money comes right back into the coffers of the military-industrial complex. How does it feel? You know, and how can they possibly talk about people in prison for even murdering one person in any comparison to the warmongering bastards that are in Washington? That they can sit in judgment on, you know, people who rob a liquor store or anything like that. I mean, I told, on the radio the other day with Slingblade, I said, I have no allegiance to this system. I would be immoral if I did. I'm not going to salute that flag, that federal flag. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get up and sing the Star Spangled Banner because none of it means anything anymore, if it ever did, because it promoted actually war. So anyhow, that's it, and I'm sticking to it. And if the liberals or the conservatives or anybody else doesn't like it, well, that's too bad. And don't let all your white neighbors and friends off the hook because they vote for these guys. The war party, the property party, is the Republican Party. And I don't. These are the guys that love the wars. And I've never said the Democrats are any good, but I think you'll find more people opposed to war on the Democrat side for sure than the Republican side, and more against the big corporations, even though we know that a majority of Democrats are in the hip pocket of the corporations too, including Obama. So, but the Republican Party, wow, unbelievable. And they're even still parading Ollie North, that son of a bitch, around. Murderer first class. And building bridges and putting Ronald Reagan's name on them. Oh, jeez. Like I said years ago, I knew Ronald Reagan. I worked in his campaign offices in Manhattan Beach, California, back before I figured out who Ronald Reagan really was. Well, I got an answer for the libertarians and everybody that wants their own country. Well, there's 790 square miles of country that nobody's claiming, so I guess you could claim it. It's between Sudan and Egypt. It's desert, but it's livable desert. Neither one of them claim it. Neither of the countries want anything to do with it. So there you go, 790 square miles of unwanted property. Why, hell, you could be bigger than Israel. Have an Aryan state there on 790 square miles between Egypt and Sudan. Let's get going, boys. Don't let me forget, or don't you guys forget now, the Black Jesus movie's playing in some theaters around the country, probably just in the big cities, but it's supposedly the real story about Jesus, Black Jesus. Well, I think Jesus probably was black if he'd been around, and I think that we should make sure to give Jesus back to the black race. It's been a curse for the black race, just like for the white race. But if they want him, they can have him. So from now on, I'm saying to anybody that wants to argue with me about Jesus, he was black. He was black. Everybody knows that. What do you think about these, the way they've manipulated you around to calling mestizos, greasy mestizos, Latinos? Latinos. That was really smart, the way they came up with that. You know, stretch of the imagination. You say, oh, they're Latin, yeah. But no, it took special. They must have worked with a computer for a long time to come up with that little, sounds like a bell, like you're ringing a bell. Latino. They must be good people because they're Latinos. They're not mixed race mestizos. No, they're not. they're Latinos. Do you notice that? They don't want to be called Mexicans. They're ashamed of being called a mestizo. Well, a Mexican, they're ashamed of that. But even beyond that, a mestizo? Oh, my God. Because that means they're mixed race. And that term comes from the South American sheep of many colors, many races, race mixing. No, we don't want to be called that, even though that's what we are in most cases. However, we accept white, of course, white Hispanics and white Mexicans and white anybody, all the way down to the tip of Argentina. If you're white, you're okay with us. Yeah. So anyhow, I think we need to add a new saying onto our list of vernacular, and that's evolutionary morality. Not Christian morality, you know. Evolutionary morality. Think that over. So if we stick with Mother Nature, that's our morality. Evolutionary morality. Think about it. That's pretty close to Ben Klassen's Nature's Eternal Religion, which is a book that should be in everybody's hands, really. Anybody that declares themselves to be white separatist or an Aryan or whatever, and not some halfway type, should have Nature's Eternal Religion. Now, you may think this is weird, but do you ever notice a real, almost all real black men have a Thor's hammer-shaped nose? You must have recognized that. I've noticed it for decades, that a real black Negro almost always has a Thor's hammer's nose, and the more Negroid he is, the bigger that Thor's hammer nose is. Do you think that Thor and the gods of the Nordics put that sign on them so people would know that they are not of us? Next time you see pictures of these real blacks, look at their Thor's hammer nose. Or maybe that's just the way the gods make fun of us. They make fun. Or maybe they hit every one of them that came out evolutionary-wise, they stamped their nose with a Thor's hammer. One of our boys told me a joke the other day. He said, you know why there's so many domestic killings between husbands and wives? Why there's so much divorce? Because there's so much violence between husbands and wives. I didn't get that right, but anyhow, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is what? This is Thursday, right? This is the 21st? Thursday, yeah, of August. I forgot to say that. I'll be back tomorrow on Saturn's Day, and I think we'll have a Sling Blade show in here tomorrow, okay? 14-5 and shut up.
Well, Cheyenne, I hear that's the... You hit the nail on the head. I mean, you just, wow, that's probably one of the best messages you've ever brought, Kathy. And what, God, 20 years I've been listening to you? Holy cow, you hit the nail, Tommy, on all aspects. That's amazing. That's commendable. In fact, I'll probably be into playing this message again 2 or 3 times. You take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
There, Mr. Metzger. I've noticed the blacks there in Ferguson are unusually well-behaved for the most part. There haven't been a lot of chimp-outs. You know, it's not like the Watts riot in 1965. It hasn't been that bad. And I guess that's... my guess is the reason the chimp-outs haven't been too severe is because it's been a pretty cool summer. It hasn't been a really hot summer, fortunately. So that's keeping the number of chimp outs across the empire to a minimum. And let's see, what else did I want to say? And you're right, as far as this incident in Ferguson is concerned, there are no heroes and there are no good guys. And I don't sympathize with anyone. I mean, I don't empathize or sympathize with anyone or support any side in this issue. It's just, the cops are there to protect and serve the rich, powerful, ruling class, the status quo. The blacks are marginalized, but they can't, they'll never learn how to behave in a white society. They can't live by whitey's rules, obviously. So it's just another no-win, impossible situation. Blacks and whites cannot live on the same continent, basically, under the same sky, under the same flag. They cannot do it. They're almost like two different species of human primate, incompatible with each other. Doesn't mean they have to be at war against each other, but they're incompatible. And this thing going on in eastern Ukraine is really heartbreaking. I mean, I've seen pictures on the internet of this young Ukrainian mother with her baby, you know, taking a selfie with, and then there's another photo like a few days later, she's dead, and her child, I mean, her and the baby are dead outside of their bombed out house in eastern Ukraine. I mean, they were killed by their own people from western Ukraine, you know. To see all those young white people having to run for their lives, being killed for nothing, so that Ukraine can be turned into a vassal state of the EU, of NATO, and the United States. Is that why Ukrainians are slaughtering each other? So that Ukraine can be turned into a vassal state controlled by the European Union, NATO, and the United States? And just think of that young white Ukrainian mother and her little child who were killed, you know, just a few days after taking that selfie. Just so heartbreaking. Very, very, very heartbreaking. Very, very tragic. This is like someone is benefiting from all of this. I'm sure Barry Sotero is there behind the scenes along with David Cameron, you know, and they're Jews, like stoking the flames, getting, you know, to make sure there's a maximum amount of killing, fratricide going on in the Ukraine. And Russia has shown an unusual amount of restraint in this matter. If I were in charge of Russia, I would have sent troops into that country, the Ukraine, like Leonid Brezhnev sent the Red Army into Czechoslovakia in 1968. But that's not my call. Anyway, you're right. You know, when it comes to white people, especially here, this is the 100th anniversary of the start of the Great War, and World War II was basically just a sequel or an extension to the First War. So, we must not take sides, you know, in this Ukrainian conflict. The idea of a countryman slaughtering each other, it's just white countrymen, especially women and children, it's just inconceivable. My opinion of humanity has always been very low, but it's sinking to new lows all the time, and I'm very unhappy about that. So thanks for your great message. I hope everything's going well for you. And I look forward to your next message in the near future. Oh, Matt Hale did respond to my letter. I sent you an email the other day. He did respond. It was a very nice letter. So I would ask everyone out there, please send some money or a card or a letter to Matt Hale. He's a damn good guy. You know, the prisoner of war in the Colorado federal dungeon there in Florence. He would really appreciate it, Matt Hale. Of the Pontificus Maximus of the World Church of the Creator. He's a very good guy, and he did respond to my letter right after I sent you that email, as a matter of fact. So thanks for getting back to me, thanks for your great message, thanks for everything, and please get everyone out there, contact Matt Hale, make
on this one. And today being the 17th of August, it's the 27th anniversary of the murder of Rudolf Hess. And many people don't know the real story, but I knew someone who was a civilian clerk over there at the time, and she happened to tell me that Rudolf Hess was dying of myriad of afflictions. They went in and offered him to be able to go home and die in the loving arms of his family if he would just sign a statement recanting all of his beliefs and all this. And Hess basically, in his way, this frail, weak, dying old man basically told them to go fuck themselves. One of the guards went into a rage and hit him, which rendered him dead. And they needed an excuse to cover up the death, so they said that the fella committed suicide. Well, Hess had a lot of faults and all this, but he was not a man who would take his own life under those circumstances, certainly not after having been there for that long. And, you know, anybody else who was given the opportunity to die in the living arms of his family would probably have said, you know, sign the fucking thing and go down home. But this old boy had some real balls, from what I understand, and that's what I was told. People can take it as they will, but it just sounds far more credible than some of the other fairy tales I've heard come out of there. So, Tom, take care, be safe, and thank you for what you're doing. Bye.
Well, if Rudolf Hess was going to commit suicide, he would have done it way before this, way before what the British said. And you know, a lot of people don't know, the Russians were trying to give him his release years before he died. It was the British and the Americans who kept him in there. So anyhow, in fact, he'd have probably committed suicide after learning of the collapse of the German government and Hitler's regime. So to wait till he was in his 90s and almost dead already to commit suicide, that story just won't float.
Coming right back to your phone calls, but I want to share this email with you from Mike.
The greatest enemy of the white race is the white race itself, meaning its institutions, like governments and everything else that comes from them, you know, country, states. The next one is the religion that they believe in, Christianity and the Catholicism and the Vatican. And the next, the third greatest enemy is the one that founded those religions, the Jews. And the fourth greatest enemy is the foot soldiers of the Jews, and Christianity is the third world darkies, the tidal wave of color. Lathrop Stoddard warned us about the emerging tidal wave of color. Anyways, the whites are killing themselves. They deserve it. I hope that Ebola comes here. The majority of the white race has to go. Otherwise, they're going to be the ones that work our people. The kernel core of true white racialists will have to face them. They're going to be the biggest threat. So let them go. Let them die by their own ends and beliefs, and let the blacks fight them, and they ain't got the fucking balls to fight back. So they'll be slaughtered. But they'll, boy, if we were to jump in there, they'd really want to kill us because of that Christianity and Judaism. You know, like those dirty Nazis, the cursed persecutors of our beautiful Jews that invented our beautiful religion. Well, let the blacks kill them. And then I think, like Ben Klassen said, when it's just us against the black horde, we can take on 10 times their number. So this is Pat from Detroit. God bless you. God damn it, Tom. You're the man.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stay. stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down. Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.